Let us continue as we move, yes, slowly and methodically through our dissertation and discoursing the scripture doctrine of regeneration,
right,
in which everything that it engenders, everything that it exudes, all in the eternal sphere. Eternity, 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 eternity. Amen. We're just going to continue to pound away at it. Eternal, eternal, eternity.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know about you, I feel good about eternity this morning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The only secure sphere of operation. Amen. We're not held captive, not victims to the operations and the events of time. These are just manifestations. God has already fixed everything.
Yes,
in eternity. Let us go to Titus 3 and 5, as Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Brother Deacon, read those first 8 verses like we have been doing. Then we shall move forward in explicating verses 5 through 8 this morning, or maybe 5 through 7, or maybe just 5, I don't know, or whatever time.
Hallelujah.
Is allotted to us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
We got an early start, so that'll give me a little more time this morning. As we look at this, it's important. No, it's more than important. It is of the utmost importance that we comprehend what we are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
What being saved actually entails. What being saved actually means.
Yes.
What does it mean to be saved? Mm-hmm. Amen. What does salvation engender? What is being a child of God comprised of? What are you, amen, as a member of the body, as the of the body of Christ, amen. Oh, if God's people could ever come to an understanding to the point that they can acknowledge the eternal workings of God and focus our attention, amen. Paul writes in the 3rd chapter of Colossians, those who are risen with Christ, since you are risen with Christ, do what?
Seek
the above things. The above things.
Yes, sir.
Above things. Prioritize what?
The
above things.
Mm-hmm.
The above. It's like it's almost like it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
The church world. In this day, the messages that are coming out of the ministries, it's like it's not even there.
Right.
Amen. Everybody's prioritizing. I shouldn't say everybody. Excuse me. Not everybody. But too many are prioritizing the earthly, everyday occurrences and our current existence and the events of time, as though this is what it's all about. And all we're doing is just passing through. We're just passing through. You're on a journey. And it's not like we don't have testimony of this.
All
right. Went to a funeral this week. Amen. It just continues. it continues. And death is a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And the message is temporary.
Right.
We aren't listening. We're slow learners.
Mm-hmm.
we're not getting the picture. We're trying to defy it.
Right.
We're trying to. I looked on the internet not too long ago, and it was junk mail. And of course, I clicked the button and made sure that I didn't get that anymore. I picked the spam button so that it would go into spam. But it was talking about stop the aging. How are you going to stop the aging?
Wow.
You know? And somebody get that and bring that into the church.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? Is that... Huh? Everybody in here, you a day older than you were yesterday.
Sorry, man. Yes.
Everybody in here.
Yes.
You know, and somehow it just goes right by us. We're not listening.
Yes.
Amen. When we're in the sphere of time,
yes, sir,
and everything is changing, it's constantly changing. And one of the things are that you're getting older. You're getting everybody in here, you're a day older than you were, as I said yesterday. Amen. To some, to young, that doesn't mean too much.
It don't.
But to us older folk, that...
Amen.
That's more impactful.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. But that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. The good news that is that there is a sphere in the eternal realm,
mm-hmm,
amen, where there is no sequencing. There is no time.
No time.
There is no such thing as change.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And getting old and all of that, that language is not germane to that sphere.
Not even.
Amen. It seemed like this is where everyone would focus, and I don't know. I don't know. Something's missing. It's missing. Oh my God! All right, Brother Deacon, Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right, read from the King James, and then we're gonna start at verse 5 in the Greek. From the Greek text, and go forward there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read.
Titus 3, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
That's what you get in the sphere of time.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
But after that, the kindness...
But above that, what?
After that, the kindness and love of God,
mm-hmm,
our Savior toward man appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, what a blessed statement. Out of verse 3, you look at verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
My God. In the midst of all of that, amen, God saved some.
Mm.
Mm. He saved, oh my God, he saved you.
Yes.
Do you like? Mm-hmm. Amen. In spite of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly,
mm-hmm,
through Jesus Christ our Savior,
uh-huh,
that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
All right, and we're going to go back and reread that from the Greek. Everyone that has your Greek Bible, turn to unilineal. Turn to Titus chapter 3, Well, Deacon, start at verse 5, and when you get to 6 and 7, read slowly. All right. Those that don't have your Greek Bibles yet, listen intently. Read.
Titus 3:5 Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works in righteousness which did we, but according to the of him mercy he saved us, through washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration, or of washing regeneration.
And renewal spirit.
Have a double genitive there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And what?
And renewal spirit of holy.
Renewal and of renewal Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6.
Which he shed on us.
Oh my goodness.
Richly.
You have the, you got the verb, my God, you got the verb there, ezekin, mm-hmm. which translated he shed or he poured or he placed.
Yes.
That is an indicative aorist, something that's already done.
All right.
Which he shared on us, and read
richly.
Now, I love that word, and of course they put the correct word there this time. Plentiful, richly, amen. Plusios, richly, mm-hmm. richly. I think the King James has freely,
mm-hmm.
amen. Richly, abundantly,
yes.
amen.
Yes.
He just laid it out on us. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, huh?
Hallelujah.
Read that, richly. How did he do it?
Through Jesus Christ.
Thea Iizu.
The Savior
Christu.
Of us.
Through Jesus Christ.
The Savior of us.
Our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm.
And in verse 7.
In order that. Being justified.
I don't quite. Well, we'll deal with that in a minute.
Okay.
Read it the way he's got it there.
Being justified by the of that one grace, heirs we might become according to a hope of life eternal.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. He's got being there. Being justified. Oh, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm looking at it. I see where he's saying being justified.
Mm.
Anyway, that should be having been justified.
Having been, actually.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being and having been.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference between on your way and already there. Amen. Huh?
Glory. Yeah.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, again, as we closed last week, our intentions were in the exercise of going through Matthew 19:28 is to basically give just explication to the word regeneration itself, the Greek word polyenesios, that is comprised of polyene, which means again, and eunesi, which means birth. And so it's again birth.
Yes,
it's again,
sir.
Not new birth. I know what they say. It's again birth. And here, used example of Jesus referring to the restoration of the earth in the form prior to the manifestation of Adam's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word here, speaks of the reorder as it is conveyed in Matthew. Mm-hmm. Using the same indicio, we look into the essence of what is strictly meant in the spiritual sphere, mm-hmm. and the eternal realm of God's placement of his elect, of us, the elect,
right.
in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So when the in Titus 3:5, when it speaks of redemption, when it speaks of regeneration, and notice prior to that, it says, not out of works of righteousness, mm-hmm. which we ourselves have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Mm-hmm. Everything is indicative errors.
Oh, yeah.
These are all past. Follow me now. I'm not going to jump around this morning. It's all according to that which is done.
Done.
Past, completed, acts.
Mm-hmm.
Complete.
Mm-hmm.
Finished. Not something that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Something that has already happened.
All right now.
Thanks.
Is over.
Come on here.
The job is finished.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that we want to basically understand, we see washing, regeneration, and renewal, Holy Spirit. We note the difference between the conveyance in Titus and in Matthew. In Matthew, you're in the kingdom gospel, you're in the physical sphere.
Yes.
In Titus, you're in the gospel grace,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the spiritual sphere, and they're contrasting. They're different spheres. Jesus used it in the earthly sense of the restoration, as we've said, of all things at his second advent to earth. Yet in Titus, it is referencing the again birth of us who were previously placed by election into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would also engender, as far as their placement, those in the Commonwealth of Israel,
mm-hmm.
to their replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They were elected before the foundation of the world also.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Here, regeneration is expressive of God's first order. Follow me. Before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
We're going back.
Back.
Not going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We're not reaching out to something that never was and hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Again means you return.
That's right.
The first order of God's acts in eternity was salvation.
Come on, come on.
He saved us first. He placed us in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the body of Christ now in eternity. Even though we are encapsulated
mm-hmm.
in human flesh, I should say in depraved human bodies, in the sphere of time, amen, the sphere of time and creation is a capsule within eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity hasn't gone anywhere.
Come on with it.
Eternity hasn't been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so, in this sense, regeneration again, birth is expressive of God's first order before the creation of the world, which even superseded the new order of the earth, amen, in the historical manifestation of time. So when we say regeneration, we're talking about again birth or before birth.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's
huh?
Right.
When the expression born again, or again birth is used, unfortunately, we have been taught that it is speaking of the spiritual birth, amen, being the second birth after the physical birth. That is not right. You got the horse trailing the cart. He's trying to push it. Amen. And he does a better job of pulling it. Huh? So, amen. Again, birth is speaking of that which you are in eternity. What you are in time and manifestation, amen, follows that which is in eternity.
Yeah.
And so, the first order of God's business is that he established the church. But he just didn't bother to tell anybody about it. Oh my God. Secret that was hidden, as Paul writes, for ages and not made known until God revealed it to a man named Saul. Actually Paul, who was formerly Saul. So you won't find this information outside of these epistles Paul wrote that, it entails the volume of truth that we call the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. It wasn't known.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go back in the Old Testament and see and get into this information. You won't go into the Gospels, Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you won't go into, amen, John and get it. You won't go into any of the other writings outside of that information that God revealed, and understand that regeneration refers to something that already exists. So there's no question, am I going to get there? Am I going to get to heaven? Amen. If you're going to be worried about things in life, don't let that ever be one of them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He placed you in the body of Christ before, amen, sequentially in manifestation, he ever placed you in the prey flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that was just temporary. Work out the testimony of what God had done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the body of Christ in scriptures like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, amen, we should understand that these conveyances are exclusively in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you don't see much preaching in the first chapter of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing there, amen, that you can physically chew on. A hole, a half, a place on your back, amen. A take to Comerica Bank, whatever bank you bank with. Amen. There's nothing there that you can hang your physical hat on. Amen. Ah, but it's more real.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's eternal.
Yeah.
Amen. And long after the physicality of things have evaporated and passed away, amen, there's the eternal realm of what God has established forever. Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
That's why we talk about the Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. These are the things that are the creed that are actualized
mm-hmm.
by God's decree. These are the eternal things.
Mm-hmm.
When everything else passes away, amen, everything concerning this life
everything.
Is gone, including your hopes and your aspirations and your physical goals.
Yeah.
Amen. Your plans.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything that you are situated in now. All of this is going to pass, my God, pass away. But don't worry about it. Amen. Your better days are ahead.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And there's no comparison. Paul said, my God, the things that we go through now, they're not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. about. Mm-hmm. New car? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How many funerals do we have to go to if we understand that what's happening here, amen, is
amen.
Here today and it won't be here tomorrow.
Amen.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this is why we keep saying eternity,
yes.
eternity, eternity, and our focus is on the eternal thing. That's what it happens.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Not in the eternal sphere. Before creation and time. And get this now, because whatever, and our focus here, amen, is to get you comfortable and secured in the fact of who you are, amen. And that entails, amen, you coming to the understanding that no human hands or workings have any part in it, because that's the only way, amen, we're going to know that it's secure. So when we look into the eternal sphere, everybody look eternally now.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Before creation.
Before.
And before time.
Mm-hmm.
One must come to the conclusion that no participative efforts on mankind's part are applicable in bringing us into God's first order.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, that's a fact that, look, it just seems like, amen, in the reading of this,
mm-hmm.
you would understand when you look into the essence of it being all eternal, this should certify the impossibility of you participating.
Oh my God.
Amen. You're not saved because of your faith, your effort, you're nothing. Amen.
Uh-huh.
In bringing us into God's first order, it is a matter, amen, of looking at the how it transpired of God placing us into his first order.
Uh-huh.
He chose you. He elected you.
Uh-huh.
He sanctified you. He set you apart. He sun positioned you.
Yeah.
He placed you by God into the body of Christ in the eternal realm, in the eternal sphere,
yeah.
before time, before creation.
Yeah.
God was all by himself.
Yeah.
Can we participate? We were no way around. That's what we are on our way, quote, back to.
Come on.
What God, amen, did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In the eternal sphere, the characteristic of immutability, a non-changing stands. Amen. The unalterable cannot be altered.
Right.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
And see, when we look into verse 5, he read, not out of works of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
which we ourselves have done. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible for it to be out of works of righteousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
How can it be out of works of righteousness which we have done when the fact of the matter is it occurred, amen, before we were ever on the scene to do anything?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then in Ephesians 2:9, when you read, not out of works, lest any man should boast. Boast about what? Boast about something that happened when you wasn't around? How can you boast about that?
Thank God.
You've got to take the enactment of salvation out of time.
Yeah.
We've got to take the enactment of salvation out of time. Scripturally, it is not in time. It is in eternity. Now when you understand this, these inductions then compels
mm-hmm.
that regeneration may be defined as an act of God in eternity, whereby he bestowed upon his elect his own life, his own nature.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. He imparted the nature of God by son positioning us in him. Oh, my God. Isn't that deep? Back in eternity, isn't that something? Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
We talk about God being awesome. Most of the time, when they say God is awesome, amen, they're thinking about some physical blessing. And we thank God for these. And don't get me wrong, amen. We're not disdaining, and we're not trying to negate what God has done. We thank him for every spirit, every physical blessing, amen, and everything in the physical realm that he does, amen. And he certainly does the greatest job in taking care of us. But sometimes, my God, in the vein of physicality, things are not going to be. Peaceful. Sometimes things are going to be tumultuously. The opposite.
That's right.
What peace is.
That's right.
Sometimes in physicality, there are things that bring forth disappointment.
Come on with it, Pastor. Come on. Bring it out. Bring it out.
Sometimes in physicality, there are things that can bring about disillusionment.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on.
Amen. Yes.
Sometimes in the depiction of those things that are physical, amen, you can become just downright completely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Feeling hopeless.
That's right.
So true.
And life is a drag.
So true. So true.
That's just why you can't watch that physical thing.
Come on.
You must dwell. You listen to me this morning. Listen to me. Listen to me. Your problem may not go anywhere.
Come on here.
You're praying. You're fasting. Huh?
Amen.
You're on a mission to get God to change something that is not his will to change.
Thank you.
And you're not happy because you feel that your happiness, is invested in that thing being eradicated. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Paul wrote on one occasion, he said, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm found. What you talking about, Paul? He said, I'm not saying that I like even the unpleasant things of life. Hallelujah. But I've learned, amen, to live above them and to look down upon them and bear a view from the vantage point of God, the eternal aspect of not just what's happening today and in this hour, but God's eternal outlook of all things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Glory to God.
Thank
yes.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's
right.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It all goes back to salvation.
Come on, Pastor. Preach it.
That if you are really looking at the things of eternal life, you're not disappointed by the things of this life.
That's it.
If you're inspired by the eternal realm, you're not disillusioned and depressed by the physical realm. There's no guarantee that whatever is going on out there that you won't fall, amen, party to it. If the corporation closes, The institution closes. The elect, as well as, didn't say rain on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. The just would get fired just as well as the unjust.
Just as well.
Huh?
Preach it. Oh, God.
There's no disease out there that you're immune to. Aren't we bearing God's people every day?
Yes.
You know, say, you know, we can isolate that cancer and we can command it. No, you can't. What? That is the craziest. Oh. That theology is that dominion now theology is just nuts.
Preach it.
You can't speak to nothing. One guy pull out his wallet and start talking to it. I want you to get fat. Crazy stuff, you know. People sitting in churches taking notes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, when he says, you can say unto this mountain, be you removed, and it shall be moved. As in the kingdom gospel, amen. That is prophetically speaking about in the millennium.
Yeah. Kingdom gospel.
You're not going to talk to your wallet. You're not going to talk to your car. You're not. I mean, you can do whatever you want. If you're that, you know, you're just crazy. That's all. That's nonsense. Amen. Now, when we understand this, and we see the essence of regeneration being again birth, that is pointing back to that which God accomplished in positioning us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Then we understand that God himself is the bestower. He's the source of life, as we felt in the conference. Amen. And those who are called to believe convey testimonies such as created in Christ Jesus. And when you look at that, amen, Ephesians 2:10, you understand that you were speaking in the eternal realm.
Sure.
A new creation. When Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, amen. New creation. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. He's talking about the first creation. He's talking about you in the body of Christ. He's talking about what you are now.
Yes.
He's not talking about what you are in the physical realm of being in the depraved flesh. He is speaking about what you are now in Christ.
Any
man who is in Christ, he got the present tense. Present indicative. You are. You are. Is a. You are a new creation. You are that now. Amen. Manifestation wise, you will be restored. You will be brought back. You will be brought to the realization of that. It is new to you from the fact that it has never been manifested before, amen, but it's old from the fact that it's something that already exists, amen. It's new to you, but just because it's new to you doesn't mean it's new. It just means it's new to you.
Amen.
New creation.
Amen.
New creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Born of God. And you get into the other Gospels, John 1:13. What does it mean to be born of God? Amen. It doesn't mean that you went down in the water.
Preach.
Doesn't mean that you walked up to some altar and quote gave your life to the Lord. Doesn't mean that you made a decision. Doesn't mean that we're going to get into all of this.
All right.
Amen. As we go forth, doesn't mean, amen, that you said a sinner's prayer. Doesn't mean that you spoke in tongues. It doesn't mean, amen, that you, amen, graduate of the mourner's bench.
All right.
It doesn't mean anything in the physical sense. A new creation is speaking in the spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
That what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have been,
always.
Amen, from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. You already are. You are. You are. You are.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Born again. You have been. You are. You are because you were.
Yes,
amen. And John 3, and 3 and 3 and 7, amen, born again. We just got that. We're going to deal with that. We're all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
We said born again means that now you have the spiritual birth because your first birth was the physical, a natural birth. That's not right.
No.
Born again, man.
No.
Again, birth means you're going back to what God, oh my God, hallelujah. And I know they're going to come against us. They're going to say we're preaching false doctrine.
Uh-huh.
They're going to say all kind of things.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let the scripture do the talking.
Yes, sir.
You know, anybody that wants to come, amen, and refute what we're saying, let's go to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Let the text talk.
Yes.
Amen. Oh my God. And Peter, even Peter, after he became educated,
mm-hmm.
in 2 Peter, he's talking a lot different. And he did on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
He says that we are partakers of the divine nature. He is speaking of that to which you were first.
Yes, sir.
Well, first.
Yes, sir.
Now, as I go into the home stretch this morning,
hallelujah.
We're not going to get to where, amen, I had maybe halfway envisioned we would go. Amen. I still got about 15, 20 minutes. Now, don't nobody get happy. Think I'm getting ready to close. I'm not. Amen. Regeneration of the scripture terms of regeneration and the scripture terminology of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, here's what we're laboring and why we're laboring so hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you can ever get this thing of salvation straight,
mm-hmm.
that becomes the springboard
mm-hmm.
of you dealing with whatever is going on out there. I'm not going to stand here and tell you, amen, that God's going to change this, God's going to move this, amen. If there may be a mountain, God puts there, put a mountain there for it to stay there.
Right there.
You can speak to it, you can
uh-huh.
kick, you can scream,
yeah.
you can cry, you can pray, you can fast, you can do whatever. Amen. If God put it there, it's his purpose for it to remain there, quote, it ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
But you can be happy with the mountain in your way.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's it.
Hmm? You can be sick and yet happy. You can be broke and yet happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? You can be persecuted and yet happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at it from the bird's eye view and from the vertical view and vantage point of God, rather than standing horizontal and trying to look at it, amen. Oh my God, you can't see it because that mountain is in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But if you elevate up above, mm-hmm. amen, to where God sees it, you look over the mountain and, oh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
You're not happy because you're standing in the wrong place. And you're looking at it wrong.
All right.
Hmm? And the worst view is we let life get us down. We just down on the ground. That's a gnat's eye view.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're looking up at it. It just looks like life is just closing in on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I'm going to do.
mm-hmm. Come on, bro. You're preaching. Lord, you're preaching. Jesus.
Oh, things are just so terrible.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Hmm? Pastor Paul is in jail.
In jail.
Glory.
And he said, rejoice.
Rejoice.
It is.
And he said, I repeat.
No.
Rejoice.
King Jesus said, again I say, but he said, I repeat. Rejoice.
Lord,
in other words, Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He reiterated that thing. Mm-hmm. He says, rejoice.
Rejoice.
Did he say, rejoice?
Rejoice.
He said, but Paul, you don't know what's going on. He said, rejoice.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Depending upon what you're looking at.
Oh, Jesus.
So this is why we shall focus on salvation very closely. Because this is what we've got to get straight and understand. Now, when salvation is strictly viewed from the doctrinal position of it being actualized in the sphere of time, follow me now, the understanding of the ontological effection of regeneration is limited to its manifestation only. You can't enjoy salvation because you're only looking at it in the physical sphere. Salvation only means that one day you came up and you made some kind of commitment and now you might not go to hell. That's all it means. The eternal application is just, it's not real. It's not real. Within the extents of this view, the boundaries of the doctrines related to the work of Christ is confined to truth no more far-reaching in its implication than the message that salvation is secured by human responsibility of believing on Christ as the Savior. And this is how we are just viewing salvation. I joined the church. I made a commitment. My name is on the roll. I got baptized. I believed. I repented. And you notice each time I use the personal pronoun I. It's all about what you did. Not about what Christ did. It's almost like he didn't do anything. Isn't that something?
Jesus.
And when we look at it this way, this requirement of you doing something cascades to other obligations, which as they are added, they exert other requisites, other conditions of human induced volitions to the scripture. So it's all about your performance, not about God's performance. That's why we don't think too much of salvation. It's really, if that's what it's about, it's not that much to think about. Because sometimes we do, but more times than we do, we don't.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You may not believe this or know this or understand this, but you are unfaithful more than you are faithful.
Absolutely.
We are. And this is why we don't think too much. This is our view of salvation. And so when this happens, it totally disrupts the essential doctrine of salvation by grace alone.
All right.
We talk about grace, we sing about grace. We name our churches grace.
Yeah.
We don't understand grace.
Amen.
Grace means no merit.
No merit.
Not little merit.
None.
N-O-N-E.
Yes, Lord.
That means you didn't do nothing. You're not going to understand that as long as you keep salvation in the physical sphere.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Only arrogance or reprehensible inattention to the structure of the scripture perception of soteriology of salvation will attempt to intrude upon any form of human works with its supposed merit, and to which and to that which cannot be done at all. We have prescriptions that don't work. In the canons and in the rule books of denominations, they have directions that are irrelevant. It doesn't work. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Can't be done. Why can't it be done? Because what salvation requires constitute the very nature of righteousness, and we have no part of that. None of us. You're talking about God on a solo act when you started talking about righteousness.
Solo.
The instance you induce anything outside of God into the formula, grace is gone. You messed it up.
Hallelujah.
And salvation, if that's what it's dependent upon, Jesus said on one occasion, because remember, the Pharisees, they were the most righteous of all.
Yeah.
He says, if your righteousness doesn't exceed theirs, you can forget it. And what he was saying is, your righteousness has to exceed that which is human.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Righteousness is the standard of God.
Yes, it is.
It is a divine entity.
Yes.
Now, I'm going into a home stretch now. This can only be done, accomplished, wrought by God. It must be by God alone, though. Not God with your help. The most reprehensible thing is the damnable doctrine of synergism. The doctrine that man must cooperate with God to get the job done. That this is accomplished with you and God working together. Can light mix with darkness? Can righteousness and unrighteousness function in partnership? No. This can only be accomplished by God. This is what the principles of His sovereign grace exudes. Now, few seem to fully comprehend the essence of the doctrine of sovereign grace, even those that purport to teach it. They don't understand that its total charitable disposition is total charitable disposition is the issue involved.
Yes.
It is God on a solo act. It is not even your consent.
Come on. Oh, Jesus.
That certifies it.
Hallelujah.
A baby dies. The question is asked, where is that baby? Now, if one consent becomes the certification, then that baby is lost.
Lost.
Except no theologian, a preacher, pastor in his right mind is going to tell a mother that her deceased infant is lost.
Right.
So what they come up with is age of accountability and a whole lot of other things that are unscriptural. When the truth is, it's not about one's consent. Is the baby saved? I don't know. Mm-hmm. If the baby is God's elect, mm-hmm. the baby is saved. Because God doesn't need your consent to save you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Doesn't need your consent.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, the scriptures unequivocally document that the eternal glories, which are wrought in sovereign grace, are not conditioned on the human side. Follow me now. By the exercise of your faith expressed in Christ in time.
Right.
But by Christ's faithfulness in eternity alone. I think I repeat this.
Yes, please.
Listen closely. Listen. The scriptures unequivocally document that the eternal glories which are wrought are brought about in sovereign grace. I want the sovereign grace people to understand this also.
Oh, yeah.
They're not conditioned on the human side by the exercise of your faith or your expressed faith in Christ in the sphere of time.
Thank
you. But it is exclusively by the faithfulness of Christ in eternity alone. Listen, and this is where we've got to make a stand as a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture bearing of this truth must of necessity extract drastic proclamations from those of us whom God has blessed to internalize this truth.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
Because this truth militates against the qualifying influence of so-called soul winning.
All right.
Methods employed by much of Christendom. Those of us who are informed would do well to bring our message and methods into complete agreement with the workings of divine grace rather than to attempt to conform. Not going to do it.
Mm-mm.
To conform, amen, this unalterable truth to human ideals.
Right.
I don't care what is considered orthodox. If it's not scripture, we're not going with it. We're not going for it.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you.
Here's why I quit today and we pick up next week. Salvation by Christ's faithfulness begins with God's eternal and mighty decree.
Yes, sir.
This is the actual transformation which constitutes a new creation as to what one is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is this eternal regeneration that we've talked about all morning alone that guarantees the safekeeping of God's elect. To manifestly bring such one home to heaven conformed to the image of Christ. You're going to get there because you're already there.
Oh, glory.
Oh, glory.
Oh, my God. Finally, those of us who are blessed to trace through these limited realities immediately ascertain this is the only solution, the only adduction, the only proper example, the only proper exhibit which can preserve us from being made to depend to any degree upon human responsibility. Now follow me now. Follow me. Because when we say that, we say, well, then isn't there human responsibility? Ability? Yeah, there's human responsibility, amen, in the sphere of human depravity, and depravity, amen, is irresponsible. And the only time you respond is when the Holy Spirit calls you to respond.
That's it, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah, yes.
And the reason we say this is that don't bring any of that stuff open to salvation. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. You shouldn't do it in life, but absolutely don't do it in salvation. Not if you're going to talk about it being secure. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we'll even come close. Sometimes what we do doesn't even resemble what should be done. Huh? Found statement. All antithetical assertions to this truth lead naturally to a detailed consideration of the more common feature of human responsibility, which are too often erroneously added to the only requirement of salvation. What's the only requirement of salvation? The faithfulness of Jesus Christ in eternity. Everybody said the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. In eternity. Say it again.
The faithfulness of Jesus Christ in eternity.
And again.
The faithfulness of Jesus Christ in eternity.
This is what we are going to have to somehow get indelibly impressed into our mindsets and our hearts. And we have to take a stand. And there are going to be people that's going to be mad at us. Because what we're saying is the complete opposite. It's indirect. It militates against all evangelical doctrines that everyone, that the majority, should say, embrace. And to say anything contrary to that, You're some type of cult. That I'm not the least bit intimidated. Somebody calling our ministry a cult. When in reality, a cult is defined by that which accommodates the flesh, and which aggrandizes the flesh, and which focuses away from God upon the flesh.
Wow.
So who's more cult? The one who teach the sovereign grace of God in election to salvation in eternity, or the one who teaches that you got to help God out? I don't know about you. I want to get there, so I'm going to leave it all up to God.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah.
Whoa.
Hallelujah. Thank you.